Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. All right, this is what they've all been fighting for. And it is a fight. It is a battle. When you play football, you've got your comrades. You've got the opponents on the other side. There are rules to the game. But within those rules, and maybe even stretching that a little bit, it's a dogfight. It's a battle. We are talking about this Cat-Grizz rivalry. And okay, it's Cat-Grizz. Right now it is because the Cats won the Brawl of the Wild earlier this year. So the contest to me right now is called Cat-Grizz. The Grizz pulled this one off. I'd be happy with that. I'm wearing some colors today. I think you know my history. I got a little blood on both sides here. We're going to talk about that. Riley Corcoran's going to join us, voice of the Grizzlies. Keaton Gillespie's going to join us, voice of the Montana Bobcats. And that's going to be just a little bit later on. Right now, Ryan Lucco, whose roots run deep, has got a story to tell about this rivalry in his service in Afghanistan. Good show up today here on Voices Old Montana. Now, this is a lot of fun, but there's a lot of marbles on the line here, too. When you look at this head-to-head matchup, Montana State's going to be played Saturday, 2 o'clock, and it'll be in Bozeman. And this is where Ryan Lucco kind of comes in here a little bit. Ryan and I have hooked up a little bit earlier. He is right now the interim director and founder of this program called Impact Montana. We'll talk about that. But tickets for Grizz fans have been hard to come by. And I spoke with a quarterback club member, and so I don't have this number verified, but I think there were only like 500 tickets that were allotted for Grizz fans, and 330 plus of those were taken up by players and coaches and families. So that didn't leave a whole lot. So here's Ryan Lucco. His dad played for the Grizz, and he's looking to get tickets here, and he's got a very special flag. In fact, has a couple of them, and one went to help fund programs for Impact Montana. This other one was up for grabs for Grizz tickets. Ryan, good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Tom. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. I don't have tickets to the game. I reserved myself to watching it otherwise. I would love to be at this one. I really would. And I know you would as well. Huge Grizz fan. Your dad played for the Grizz. Why don't you just take the stage now. Tell us the story. Tell us how your emotions are wrapped up in this. And also the rivalry, its impact overseas for our military service members.
Yeah, you bet, Tom. Thank you for inviting me to be on the call, and certainly appreciate that. Yeah, so my dad did play in the 60s, 62, 3, and 4, played alongside his cousin, Gene Tripp Jr., that is, you know, a lot of people know him as affectionately, and Brian Tripp and Jordy Tripp is all, you know, family. And so, you know, growing up in Helena every Saturday morning, you know, as a kid, even before WaGriz was open, my dad and I got in the car and trekked over to Dornblaser and watched the Grizz, and then had the same seats in section 108 of Washington Grizzly Stadium up until about 10 years ago when my dad's health started to decline. So yeah, just a quick rundown of those roots. You know, kind of fast forwarding into my time in service with Montana Army National Guard and my last deployment in Afghanistan, I asked somebody here in Montana if I could have them contact up top and Colt Anderson as a, you know, a beloved Grizz, see what their interest in sending us a Cat and a Grizz flag over to Afghanistan so we could take it around the country and, you know, get pictures with both sides of the fan bases. I'll post those pictures on my Facebook page later today, but I've got great pictures on top of our battalion headquarters, actually brigade headquarters, excuse me, in Bagram Air Base, with the Cat up top flag and a Grizz up top flag. And I actually traveled with both those flags all over Afghanistan, where we had nine locations of troops scattered from our 495th Combat Services Support Battalion. And so even was in one location that we had pictures with German soldiers taken with it. So it was pretty awesome to travel that and just kind of create some camaraderie, you know, between the troops at that point in late November. You're, you know, 7 months into the deployment and it gets pretty exhausting. And so that fired up our troops a little bit. And then the best part about it, Tom, I think, is that we were able to coordinate a live streaming in the theater on Bagram Air Base the night of the game. So I'll go back to that in a second because that's kind of a wild story. But the Grizz flags, so there was a Grizz up top flag and a Cat up top flag. And I also had in my possession a flag that showed the two national championship dates on it, right? 95 and 01. And it's a funny story. I got up early on the day of the game and went over to my battalion headquarters and raised those flags up on the two poles that we have, so that when my commander, Michael Beck, Colonel Beck, and our command sergeant major, John Christensen, showed up to work that day, they're both Cat fans. they were surprised by the Grizz, you know, flags flying high at our battalion headquarters. And so, later I took the championship flag down and put the cat flag up to, you know, to honor the game day.
To save your life, rivalry. Probably. To save your life, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
It certainly did. And maybe an Article 15, too, but yeah. As a chaplain for the battalion, you know, I have some, they've got to be careful, you know, with that relationship. So that was a big, you know, a big part of that, really couple days. And then going back to the game that we were able to show in the MWR theater, we had, you know, it was in the middle of the night, right? Cause it's late. It's 12 hours difference or 11 hours difference. I don't remember. So that game started in the middle of the night and we had probably 15 of our soldiers over there that got over there for the start of the game to include my battalion commander and command sergeant major. And man, that first half of the 2018 game was phenomenal. I think people know the game as the miracle in Missoula, right? Cat fans do, especially. I don't know if it's a miracle for us, but, as Grizz fans, but the first half was super energetic for us Grizz fans. And the second half, you could feel that tide turning. And then believe it or not, Tom, the last like 30 seconds of the game, we had an internet outage and the streaming buffering didn't catch up. And so we missed being able to see what happened live with, I believe it was our running back that fumbled at the goal line.
Yes.
And so we're all there in suspense and didn't have any idea. Other than me, I had it on my phone listening to the live feed. So I was giving a little bit of play by play, but I was so disappointed in the loss that it was tough to even talk. So anyway, there's some good, you know, memories that have surfaced back up for me. And the other cool thing about it too, is even though, you know, a handful of us knew the results, we did have a big party for our entire, Bagram, team that was there. And I think that was for about 40 people. We coordinated a dinner and another live showing that Root Sports actually recorded for us so that we could share it with our battalion. So there was a bunch of licensing and, you know, things that came into play there. But man, how awesome is it to coordinate those types of things and build relationships with entities that are supporting, you know, our folks that are deployed. So a lot of fun, even despite the results, but that's kind of the journey. And so going back to the cat flag, I gifted that to probably one of the bigger cat. I mean, there's a lot of big cat fans, right? Let's face it. Yeah. A lot of great people that wear blue and yellow or blue and gold. have to throw a little bit of banter out there. And So I gifted that to a significant volunteer and donor several years ago, just as a gesture of my appreciation. And that flag, honestly, would probably get, you know, four tickets, if not more than that, this weekend. But I have no regrets for, you know, gifting that. I think it was about 3 years ago to Diane McDonald and her husband, Trevor. Nice. And so, yeah, I still have the Grizz flag that, you know, it's certainly valuable to me, but this game is, Tom, probably the biggest.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest sporting event in Montana's history, at least in our lifetime, right?
Yeah, it's not a surprise, and so getting tickets have been real hard. Interesting that you know, you would put that up, and four tickets was the ask. I thought that was a good ask for a flag that had flown over our troops in Bagram, you know, 2018 as well. Let's go. No takers yet. I know you pulled that back, it's probably too late. I mean, I can't imagine overcapacity crowd there. But talk about how that impacted you guys. I mean, you know, we get all caught up in it here, and then but we forget our service members across the way, and it's not just this rivalry; it's other rivalries as well. A couple of questions in that. Talk about how that impacted the troops' morale going forward. And then also, did that set up something to where the military is more readily, you know, producing these types of events for our troops?
Well, great question. So I'm going to start with the second one first. So I really think it depends on the investment of the people who are deployed. Like, so for a Montana National Guard unit that has a specific tight-knit investment, right, based on an event, it is a lot easier to connect with the facilities and start impressing upon the value of these things, right? And sometimes they receive it and accept it and make things happen, and sometimes it just is not possible. And so for us, in a lot of it is leadership support based as well. And certainly I had, you know, strong leadership both at the battalion leadership level and even at the company headquarters level. So that was relatively easy to manage. And especially when there's an event at 11:30 at night, right? How many people are trying to use the MWR theater? Mm-hmm. And really the camaraderie, I tell you, being 7 months into a deployment, those are the dog days, right? Right before Thanksgiving, just traveling around with those flags and just being able to have friendly banter. But more importantly, it brings that tie that binds, which is Montana, right? Everybody in the Montana Army National Guard, unless they're cross-leveled from another, you know, unit, which happens from outside the state, typically that happens overseas, so not necessarily before we deploy, but for us, there were 70 people who had a strong investment in Montana, and I would say 95% of them have an investment in either the Grizz or the Cats, right, as fans. And so when you're traveling around and have these flags, you know, normally chaplains travel around with, like, you know, candy and whatnot, and that wasn't my MO, because I try to be healthier than that and promote, you know, better things than that. But that was my way to interact with our troops and engage and spark some camaraderie, in addition, obviously, to my role as a chaplain. And so you can see in these pictures that I'll post the, you know, what that developed just with the people that have the pride behind the cat flags and the people with the pride behind the Grizz flags. It just was so fun to be able to just spark some energy in that phase of the deployment. So great questions.
Yeah. And I appreciate you coming on and you know, kind of reliving that for us here as well. We forget that we I don't know how much we forget that, because there are these parties all over the United States in that regard. Mm-hmm. And it's just so heartwarming. And it probably helps because, like you say, in those dog days of the deployment, you have to remember what you are there for. And that probably did a good job in that regard.
Yeah, and our mission as logisticians, right, combat support, essentially, I mean, even it is hard, regardless of the mission, it is hard being separated from your family and being disconnected from your, you know, from your team. I mean, we had sites that had two or three people, soldiers that who were managing, you know, logistics and contract operations. And so those folks are out on their own little island. And so to be able to come in and just kind of reinvigorate some energy, it, yeah, I did that a lot as a chaplain, and certainly these go rounds, with the flags just kind of offered that next level of support, and it was awesome. I appreciate you being able to bring that memory back for me, because I really haven't thought a whole lot about it up until the last couple of days.
I'm going to make you agonize a little bit, because as battalion chaplain and, you know, a diehard Grizz fan, the miracle in Missoula 2018, you know, how long did it take you before somebody was going to go, hey, chaplain, not now, I am not in the mood for that. You know, how long did it take for you to get over that?
Well, I don't a lot of my friends are Cat fans, and they like to rub it in. Yeah. And I think as a chaplain, you have a responsibility to, you know, to rise above the emotions. And I don't know that I did that really well.
Good.
I still don't do it really well, because of, you know, just that blood that is, you know, it's maroon, right?
Dornblazer Field, Ryan, you know? Yeah you started at Dornblazer.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And, you know, I would say this, Tom, my character 20 years ago as a Grizz fan looks drastically different than it does today. And I have so much admiration and love for just, you know, Montana as a whole, right? And so people that love Cat fans are obviously Montanans too. And I have to love and respect them, even though I don't always get that same love and respect back. But that's what passion generates, right?
Yeah. And as long as we know our limitations there too, and it's kind of hard sometimes with sports. ImpactMontana.org is the organization. Ryan Lucco is spelled Luchau. You're going to post some of those pictures up on your Facebook page. Is it the Impact Montana page or your own Ryan Lucco page?
No, I'll post it on my personal page.
Okay. That'll be cool. So I'll spell it out again, Luchau, for those who want to see that. Any thoughts about this one?
Oh, boy, it's going to be, man, expectation management, right? I really think that the Grizz were not at the top of their game in Missoula when the Cats went in there, and the Cats certainly were. I would say that it's shifted a little bit. The momentum is definitely is high for the Grizz, right?
Yeah.
And I'm biased. I'm not going to hide that bias. I don't think the Cats have played as well in the playoffs, as they did, you know, previously this year. I'm not going to give a prediction, but I think it's going to be a last possession game.
It will be,
as it should be, right?
Yeah, this will be one that we'll never forget. And we'll be talking about, like, you guys in Afghanistan. You're talking about that 2018 game, and you will be forever because of its impact. This will have the same impact on a lot of Montanans too. And
I believe that to be the case too, Tom. Sure.
Ryan, thanks for your service, and thanks for chatting with us here and reliving some of those memories with us. You know, it's great to share those with you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for letting me share, Tom. I appreciate the invite.
Keaton Galogli will join us here in just a little bit. Riley Corcoran as well. Again, that's Ryan Lucco. Did your dad have a nickname?
No, he didn't need a nickname. It was, well, I guess Jer. Jerry Lucco. He was a menace on. He was. It's funny, Tom. He was 5'10", but a menace on the football field as an offensive lineman. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks. Cool. Give him our regards. Okay. Give them all our regards.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Ryan.
God bless you.
Yeah.
All right.
Ryan. Again, battalion chaplain, 495th Combat Services Support in Afghanistan. Appreciate that service. Going to get right into it because it's the fastest hour in radio, and there's a lot to talk about here. So much of a pleasure to welcome Keaton Galogli, voice of the Montana State Bobcats, a 15-year broadcast veteran in his fourth year, I believe, as a play-by-play voice for Montana State. Did some work in Michigan, a lot of work all over. Riley Corcoran as well, voice of the Grizzlies, 10 years, three-time Montana Sportscaster of the Year, a lot of coaches shows, does some ESPN Plus. You guys just do all of everything. And welcome, and thank you for being here. I'm going to rush into this because we got a hard break at 35, and then more time on the other side of that. Keaton, welcome. Riley, welcome. Keaton, your thoughts early on.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is what it's all about, you know. I mean, this is everything you get into the business for, you know. And people will ask me what my ultimate career goals are, and you sometimes want to think about big picture. And I know for me, early in my career, it was easy to maybe look past some of the tough, difficult games or minor league Wednesdays with 100 people in the ballpark with no real competition on the line. Everybody kind of playing for themselves at times, but Anytime I ever sat back, truly thought about it and tried to think about it outside of what you were supposed to want to be at, the things that I really, really started to prioritize and care about was, you know, how big is your radio network and how many people care, how many people are in the stands, and just how much is on the line. And I think when you look at a game like this between these two programs with what's on the line, first time they've even played twice in a year in over 100 years, like, This is what it's all about. This is the type of Saturday that I have traded many, many other Saturdays for, and to be in the booth with the mic, with our radio team, with Leo and Dan and Dylan and everybody up in our booth and ready to go. And I think this is everything I know I personally have worked for. And after having gone through the minor league grind, with which I cherish, you know, yeah. It does kind of feel like sometimes I'm going from black and white to a full palette of colors when you get to call a game with this type of crowd and these types of stakes and these types of rivalries.
That is so appreciated here. I mean, just digging into the rivalry like this, and a great perspective. Riley, this is something also that you have pointed to, maybe even more specifically Montana and Montana State, having grown up here.
Well, absolutely, and I echo what Keith was saying about when you really go through all of your game days and all of the process and the prep of getting to this point, it's everything you can ask for from a broadcaster's standpoint, and quite frankly, just a fan of football. I mean, we know how much this is going to mean, not only for the state for this week, for this month, for this year, but for eternity, and that's something that this is a forever game. This is a legacy game for everyone that is going to be a part of it, from the people that even go through the stands are going to say, hey, I was there at this game. And the fact that Keaton and myself get to call this, it really is kind of a pinch yourself moment, because the reach of this game, it is so far and wide that we can't even put a finger on it of how many people this game's going to affect. And I tell you what, the history part of it, it's going to be fun to talk about here for the next half hour with you guys. But the fact that these two teams have been playing for over a century and they've never met in the playoffs, never had something with this quite on the line. And it was funny because when we saw each other a couple of weeks ago, we knew that this was a distinct possibility. And the fact that they've only been in the same playoff field 12 times ever, they've only been on the same side of the bracket 4 times, it just seemed like it was a collision course. And I cannot wait for Saturday.
All right. In 30 seconds, each of you, 3 words that to tease this next segment. Keaton, 3 words that you think will impact this game.
Ooh. Offense, defense, special.
Nice.
Teams.
All right. Riley.
Defense, crowd, turnovers.
All right. As we get ready for this Cat-Grizz brawl of the two wild, it might be that way. You guys all take care of yourselves and take care of each other if you're going to the game or wherever it is you're watching it. Keaton Galogli is with us, Montana State University voice of the Bobcats, named the Montana Sportscaster of the Year in 2024. A long history, even as a youngster, of calling games. And Riley Corcoran, voice of the Montana Grizzlies, been doing that for 10 years. I call him Mr. Butter because you're so smooth on the air. You guys have great crews. I love listening to the radio broadcast. It's just more alive. It's just more knowledgeable. And it's going to be on TV, but there's networks all across the state of Montana. Catch it on your local radio station. Thank you guys again for being here. Keaton, it's sort of a just go kind of deal. You gave us three words. How are those going to impact the game, offense, defense, special teams for Montana State?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little cliche, but sometimes cliches are cliches because they're true.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of something that Coach Vegan's been talking about really since he got here 5 years ago, which is complementary football, right? And I think you're able to see it a little bit in a couple different games in that they didn't have that true complementary football against South Dakota State in the Gold Rush game in that loss in double overtime back in week two, where the offense took a little while to get going. It wasn't really they weren't really spreading the ball around beyond Taco Dollar a ton like they are now, and you kind of saw the defense get put in tough spots and picked them up as much as they could, but at the end of the day they didn't get that win. And then you go back and look at the Stephen F. Austin game, and that's a game where, you know, Montana State was spreading the ball around. They threw the ball like crazy. Justin Lamson went 17 of 20 through the air in that first half because Stephen F. Austin was 100% focused on stopping the run, and they did because they held Montana State under 30 rushing yards in that first half. But after the Bobcats opened things up with the passing game, then the dam breaks in the second half. The ground game gets going, and they still end up with over 200 rushing yards on the ground in that quarterfinal win. So that's kind of why I talk about that, because Coach Vegan's talked about the complementary football all year, and I think you do see some of that reflected in the postseason awards within the Big Sky, where Montana is – they've got the superstars. I mean, their superstars are incredible, and in a lot of ways, their top players, you could argue, have had better seasons than the Bobcats' top players when you look at a Wortham and an Ayotte and a Gilman. But for the Bobcats, I think one of their strengths is just how deep they are at every position. You know, maybe they don't have quite the ceiling, you could argue, if you wanted to, but I think the floor for Montana State is so much higher because they just have so many weapons spread out across all 22 starting positions. So I think for me, that complementary football is really what has been the key to success this year so far. And I think it's the most complementary football they've played under Coach Vegan's tenure, now that he really has his recruits in after 5 years.
And both these quarterbacks have improved as the year has gone on, and that has helped these teams as well. Go ahead, talk about special teams, that aspect of it from the Bobcats' viewpoint there, Keaton.
Yeah, you know, the nephew of Coach Vegan, Miles Sandstead, is the guy who's been the place kicker for Montana State. And, you know, he's a guy who kind of had to come along a little bit. He did have a couple of mistakes early in the season, and he's really the leader of this team and the special teams unit now, because it's not one but two true freshmen that are part of this unit. So it's Brody Johnson, who's the true freshman as the long snapper, Colby Froker, who's the kickoff specialist and punter as the holder, both guys true freshmen. So Sandstead's the guy who's really kind of held up that unit, and things have really come together well. And then on top of that, you know, the special teams emphasis is really strong here, just as it is in Missoula. If you want to be a starter, if you want to be a guy who's playing multiple snaps throughout the year, you've got to go prove yourself on special teams. And if you want to look into the future, who are going to be the Bobcat stars down the road, just look at the guys who are making big plays on special teams.
And they have had that impact on these games over the past several years. Riley Corcoran, defense, you said crowd. I got a text here. Tom, ask the broadcasters why the TV people never discuss how much support attendance at a Montana school. And, you know, top three or four for average attendance for many years. So, you know, that's a question coming in here. Defense, crowd, and then, turnovers. Yep, always something.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think that when it comes down to Montana, I'll answer the question about the crowd. I really think that around the country, from maybe the TV perspective or from the FCS national perspective, I really think the crowds are taken for granted here inside the Treasure State. That they just expect that there's going to be 20,000 or more, and they don't really appreciate it, I think, from an every single broadcast standpoint. We are very lucky to be able to get that crowd each and every week, and I think it's going to play a massive factor. And I'll kind of go to my second word first here when it comes to the crowd, because quite frankly, crowd and playing on the road here in this matchup for Montana has not been their strong suit. They haven't won in Bozeman in 10 years, but this group just feels different when they go on the road this season, with an insane sense of confidence that is echoed with Coach Houck and wanting to maybe get rid of all the demons from the last decade and to right their wrongs. It's very, very rare that you get this chance in sports with an opportunity to right your only wrong. And I think for Montana, that they have had that mindset ever since that game went final here 4 weeks ago in Missoula, and they have been determined determined ever since that game was over to get another chance at Montana State. And albeit that Montana State and Montana both a lot of respect for each other this year, that they're among the FCS elite. Coach Houck had hinted at it during the first matchup that he thought that these were the two best teams in the country, that they would yet meet again in the playoffs. And now for the Grizz, they get a chance to try and do that on the road, and they're better, they're healthier at least at this standpoint, and that leads me into the defense side of things. And I know that everyone will talk about the Grizzly offense. It has been so much fun to call this year. Historic in every sense of the word from the playmakers that Keaton was talking about. But really, it's going to come down to the Grizzly defense, I feel, in this game and what they can do to potentially control that rushing attack. Montana State, when they've had their way against the Grizz here in the last nine matchups, it has been because they have been able to run the football whenever they've wanted, especially at the end of the game 4 weeks ago. The fact the Grizz offense never got a chance to get the ball back. I think that possessions are going to be huge in this game. Just to count the possessions, for the Grizz, they average around 13 to 14 times that they get the ball per game. They only had it 8 times against Montana State. And you have to credit the Bobcats for that, but it's because they were able to control the clock, control the running game a lot. With Keon Loud back for the Grizzlies, and that's another one of those superstars that I think needs to be thrown into the mix of your Ayotte, your Gilmans, and your Wortham. Keon Loud's the best Grizzly cornerback, and since he has returned here in the playoffs, the Grizz have been able to play much differently, and they have had an extra sense of juice on the defensive side, and particularly being able to stop the run against two really good teams in the trenches and that can run the football in South Dakota State and South Dakota. And then when you come down to all of this turnovers, right, from Montana's perspective, they feel they were one play away from winning. And a tip pass, Caden Dowler, he has found the right place at the right time, it seemed like, here in the last 5 or 6 games. But if the Grizz can win the turnover battle, I think really with how even these two teams are, and the stats are quite amazing when you think about it. They both forced the same amount of turnovers this season. But I think whoever wins that turnover battle is going to have a big leg up in this one.
Appreciate that. The atmosphere now exists in Bozeman. Of course, I spent some time on the Grizz sidelines, Keaton and Riley. I think you guys both know that. And it's an electric. It really was. And Bozeman, for a number of reasons, different reasons, didn't have that. But that atmosphere exists now in Bozeman, and that has made a lot of difference, and it has for quite some time. I want to switch to what a lot of people are talking about now, Keaton, momentum. It seems like at the end of the season, the Cats had the momentum. After the playoff started, Montana looked like, because they had offensive and defensive momentum that might have switched around a little bit. What are your thoughts through all of that? What does Coach Vegan do and the Bobcats do to, if they feel like they've lost some momentum, to regain it back?
Yeah, I think I think momentum within a game can be very, very real. But I think anything that's happened before this between the last meeting is flushed. I think that's all kind of out of it right now. And look, I think both of these teams looked like what you should expect, right? Montana looked like a team the last 2 weeks that lost their rivalry game and did not win a conference championship, and they had something to prove. They had the chip on their shoulder. And I think for the Bobcats, they expended a lot of that emotional energy, and they looked like a team that beat their rival and won an undefeated conference championship. And there have been a few procedural hiccups, start and stops for the Cats these last 2 weeks. But at the end of the day, they got the win. That Yale team was really good. They eliminated the Ivy League champion. They've eliminated the Southland Conference champion. And even with, maybe a few starts and stops, they still ended up blowing out Stephen F. Austin, which is a very, very good football team. So I think that's all in the past. And you're going to have one or two things happen in this game. The stakes are going to get you to lock in, or the stakes are going to make you crumble. And what do you think this Bobcat team truly in your heart is going to do when the stakes are their highest? To me, having followed this team and watched them in really high stakes, I think it's going to lock them in. So I think that's okay. And I think in a lot of ways, this game coming up is going to just be a continuation of that game from a month ago. This is going to feel like the fifth quarter of that game where, we saw the ebbs and the flows and the counter punches and the changes and the coaching strategy tug and pull at each other. And, Riley talked about that drive at the end of the game. I felt pretty confident that if Montana State gave Montana the ball back with much time left, there was a high likelihood of them going down and scoring a touchdown or at least getting in field goal position. So it does feel like that's going to flip. And now we'll see. You know, can Montana continue to move the football? What kind of adjustments does Montana State make? And how does the ground game come out at the start? So, yeah, in a lot of ways, this just feels like the fifth quarter of that game we saw a month ago.
I like that. Riley, your thoughts on momentum, but also fold in here the national championship implications here. You know, this is a semifinal. Both these teams have been to the national championship more than once, and then especially in the past couple of years as well. So that is a bonus, but you have to manage that.
Absolutely, and I think just to piggyback off what Keaton said, I love that analogy, and I do feel this like that we are all getting, I think when everybody left the stadium in Missoula on November 22nd, they all were thinking, man, I wish I could get four more quarters of that. Well, that's exactly what we're getting, quarters 5, 6, 7, and 8, and we're going to see. I think that Montana, from that momentum side of things, they obviously have picked off and lifted off here in the playoffs with what they've been able to do, and it's the explosive plays and getting the ball to their playmakers, right, and letting Michael Wortham do his thing last week, letting Eli Gilman run wild against the South Dakota State defense that had bottled him up in previous years, and just the blow off of the ball that the Grizzlies are getting in that offensive line, defensive line play, that has also been noticeable here in the last couple of weeks. So the second part about the FCS National Championship, it's a little crazy because I feel that going into the prep all of this week, sure, everybody knows the impact that this is a semifinal game, and that's why it is the biggest. But I feel that no one is really worried about the fact that the winner of this goes to the national championship, at least at this current moment. Mm-hmm. Yes, it'll be a ton of fun to talk about down the line, but there's just so much at stake here from the revenge angle of it. And to, like I said, right your wrongs a bit. And the fact that this is so historical that I really think that no one is looking ahead quite like that. For us in this three-person conversation right now, and for everybody listening, yeah, there's no secret. The winner of this game will be a heavy favorite to win the national championship, and that's really exciting for the state. Cats haven't won one since 84. The Grizz haven't won one since 2001, and no matter who wins this game, that team is going to be the team that's talked about. They get the North Dakota State, the South Dakota State treatment here of whoever can advance and go to Nashville, and that'll be really exciting for one of us, Keaton. I don't know which one quite yet. That'll be really exciting, but I really don't think that that is even a factor until the clock hits zero on Saturday.
I like that one as well. I got like a minute left, maybe just a shade more than that. So tease your pregame show, Keaton. What are you you know, broadcasting to lead up to this game, game time 2 o'clock?
Yeah, we're keeping it pretty normal, right? I think, you know, every time I've been around the building or the guys, everybody's kind of keep things nice and normal. So we'll have Colter Nuanez of Skyline Sports on, just kind of giving us some of the top line 30,000-foot view stuff. Of course, we've got our Hall of Famer from Chinook, Dan Davies, a part of that, our sideline analyst. And we always get a nice conversation with Coach Beacon. And I typically save a lot of the true X's and O's part of the conversation I have with Coach Beacon for that pregame interview. You know, you don't need to go in on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday for all our other shows and really dive into that part of it. I'm usually getting into some other big picture topics, but once we get to this, especially since it airs like 15 minutes before we actually kick off, that's when we can dive a little bit deeper into the X's and O's of this whole thing. And then on top of that, just make sure we lay out and let the crowd noise get going a little bit. We're always on the air for the rodeo team run out, and just hearing the explosion of the crowd and the fireworks in that moment is the type of thing that really gets a lot of fun. And then before you know it, the ball will be kicked off, and then we're talking first, second, third, fourth down.
Riley, you've got like 10 seconds. What's your pregame focus?
A two-hour pregame show. We start at noon. We're going to have a bunch of former players that are in town. They're going to be on our pregame show, and our entire team will be ready to bring you the coverage starting at noon.
You guys are such pros. We are fortunate to have you calling our games because Montana loves its hometown radio stations. We've loved listening to these games year in and year out. Riley Corcoran with the Montana Grizzlies, Keaton Galogli with the Montana State Bobcats. Good luck to you both. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, now we'll be talking later to one of you guys, okay? maybe both. What the heck, yeah. Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.